Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love. Ignatius Press is pleased to announce the first national book club created for Catholic schools. Ignatius Book Club for Catholic Schools was launched to support Catholic schools' dedication to forming the whole child, mind, body, and spirit. Ignatius Book Club for Schools partnered with leading publishers of children's literature to offer the best books and educational materials for all reading levels and interests. Head to ignatiusbookclub.com/podcast and find wholesome books that delight, inspire, and enrich.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Frank Friar Podcast. I am the Frank Friar, your friendly neighborhood Carmelite, a.k.a. Father Nicholas, reporting to you all from the Bronx in New York City. And today I want to talk a little bit about a great Carmelite saint. This podcast is going on his feast day, St. Andrew Corsini. He is from the 14th century. He was alive within the order in the mid-1300s there, so his time as bishop and etc. was really during the time of the Black Plague, you know, the Great Death, where something like over a third of the population of Europe is just dies and has some serious ramifications for the history of the church, particularly possibly leading up to the necessary reforms that came out of the Council of Trent. But this particular bishop, I think, is so important for our time because he was already working on some key reforms within his area of Italy during that time that I think we as a church, hopefully, and particularly our bishops, can learn from him. So he became a provincial, which means he was in charge of all the Carmelites in his area. There are many things sort of inscribed on his headstone, one of them being sort of a little joke that he was snatched out of Carmel, you know, for the sake of the church, but also reference to his great preaching, etc. And one of the things he did during his time as bishop at Italy, and I'll put in the description a link to an article that we Carmelites have put out on our website, but one of the things he did during his time as a bishop there was to reclaim for himself ecclesiastical benefices. You know, ecclesiastical benefices are, how do I want to put this, an endowed church office that give income to its holder. You know, so if you had these, you were bringing in some income. You know, they revolved around church property, spiritual practices and things. It's income that's owed to a church. And if you're a priest of a particular church with many of those, you could become quite wealthy. So he's reclaiming them and bringing them back under his jurisdiction as a bishop to keep them free from being trafficked and et cetera as a way of getting or gaining wealth. You know, he insisted that these beneficiaries who have these and manage these, et cetera, are be men that have holy orders, that they be ordained. You know, and he had a couple of vicars within his diocese that aided him in this government process. And one of the things he also began, you know, and sort of instituted, for lack of a better word, was to look at the personal lives of those with holy orders in his life that are under his jurisdiction, you know, to really review the conduct of his clergy. Things around maybe ignorance within the life of the faith of the clergy, bad habits, gambling, wearing secular clothing. You know, these things he wanted to review on a personal basis with each of his priests, you know, and to help them to re-examine his life. He did not tolerate priests, clerics, who failed in their obligation of chastity. Also, you know, he was able to keep himself true. He made choices to reside in areas of his diocese where he could be closest to the people. You know, there's a lot of technical terms there and et cetera, but, you know, he was a man that was all about reform, but was willing to also be at the level of the common people in his life. You know, one of the things I've been struggling with in terms of all this stuff going on in the church, coming to light of years and years and years of abuse of children, you know, I'm in the Archdiocese of New York. Cardinal Timothy Dolan ordained me a priest. And he has maybe not a huge geographical area. You know, I was confirmed in the Diocese of Marquette, which is the whole UP of Michigan, geographically very huge. But the Archdiocese of New York is quite long, and just the density of parishes and et cetera, I can't imagine how any layperson could get direct access or have a way of directly conversing with their bishop, the cardinal. You know, and I think that's a very troubling thing. You know, even as a priest, sometimes I don't know how I'd be able to get a hold of him and et cetera as my bishop, as one who I am serving under within his archdiocese that he has been entrusted with and et cetera. And this is why it's so important to look at saints, not just in a, oh, look at their great lives of spirituality and of holiness and et cetera. You know, we also have to be able to embrace the concrete reality. I mean, this is a man that lived during the Black Death. You know, people are dying left and right. And it was usually the good priests and the good religious that were with the poor, with the sick, that died too because they contracted the disease. So leaving behind maybe not some of the best ecclesial elements in terms of servers and priests and etc. And instead of shying away, he confronted a reality that was before him in order to strengthen the life of faith amongst the people within his diocese. And not just being a bully to priests, he also started a confraternity of priests within his diocese to help priests become better formed to be these saintly ministers within the body of Christ that is the church, you know, particularly in regards of shaping, preaching, and etc. And I just put him out there a little bit, you know, to hopefully wet your whistle, to give you an insight of people that's dealt with issues like our own throughout the life of the church. And this amazing man, this amazing Carmelite saint, is one that just puts forward a great witness of what it means to reform, but also some of the necessary things that need to happen within that reform, including fraternal correction, which seems to be something that we are quite afraid of. You know, we psychologize away, you know, wrongdoings and et cetera, and we sort of say, well, you know, we got to act with mercy and we can't, you know, we don't want to hurt feelings and et cetera. Well, no, sometimes we need a little frankness. Sometimes we just have to be able to say, no, that is wrong. It's not okay. Don't do it. Reform your life. Repent. You know, these aren't fun things. There was a necessity within the life of the church that penance always have a public aspect to it, whether it's priest, I give someone three Hail Marys to pray. They're still doing it within the church there usually. They're doing it in public. People could see that they're doing a penance. Just if you're frustrated right now about what's going on in the church, and I know the bishops here in the United States just had a big sort of spiritual gathering. You know, there's a big meeting in Rome coming up with the Holy Father and the different heads of bishop conferences and etc. You know, look into the work and the life of Andrew Corsini. May he strengthen you and help to rekindle, to re-embrace this gift of hope that has been given to all of us from our baptism in the power of the Spirit by Jesus Christ. You know, our times are a struggle, but so were different aspects and different moments within the life of the church also. And may the people back then strengthen us in the here and now as we seek to reform our way of life within the church so we all can continue to grow and strive in becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. Thank you very much for your time today, my brothers and sisters. Know that I'm with you. Know I'm praying for you. And may God continue to bless you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you like what I'm doing here on my podcast, my brothers and sisters, please make sure to click that subscribe button and leave a little comment for me. Let me know what your thoughts are about my thoughts. Also, if you want more of my content, you can go to my website, thefrankfriar.com. There on my website, thefrankfriar.com, you can find blog posts, links to my Catholic Stand articles, videos from my YouTube channel. There's also a contact page there. Or if you're discerning a vocation, there's a vocation tab there also. And remember, that is thefrankfriar.com. Thank you very much for your time today. Know that I'll be praying for you.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota in Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit Toyota on nicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at lexusoflexington.com.